Hey, gang, it's the Game Show Guys. I'm Tom Bastek.
And I'm Mike Jacobs. Tom, even though we're out of season two, haven't started season three yet, why are we here?
We are here because there is things that need to be passed. There's stories that need to be told. We're here because we don't want to lose our listenership between the seasons.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're getting a little carried away there, Tom. We just want to keep people engaged. That's all there is to it.
Exactly right. But the good news is that Christian has said that he would come back and give us a little bit of what's going on in the world. Also, guys, we've got more details on what Ryan Vickers is doing, and we'll talk more about that after we're done. Let's hit the news, though.
Let's do it.
Thanks, guys. Well, the big news this week in game shows, the writers of The Chase are officially on strike. Now, this was first reported by Deadline, and then it's been picked up by a lot of other news services as well. Essentially, the writers for The Chase have been working from home during the pandemic, writing questions for this, you know, hit TV show. And it hasn't been announced for a second season, but it's looking like it was popular enough that it will return. And the writers for The Chase are really seeking basic health benefits from ITV, the parent company who owns the format to the show, as well as the one in England. They're looking for health benefits and they're looking for things that other union shows have. So shows like Jeopardy, shows like Millionaire, their writers, you know, have health benefits. They were unable to reach an agreement. So as of now, the writers for The Chase are officially on strike. Now, they wrote a letter. Now, the Writers Guild wrote a letter explaining, quote, ITV America has refused to apply the full terms of the minimum basic agreement to all seasons of The Chase going forward, and writers on The Chase and the Guild at large refuse to accept an agreement that would undermine writers of future seasons. And, of course, The Chase, Big Hit Quiz Show, Ken Jennings, Brad Rutter, James Holzhauer, all cast members on the show, and it's interesting to see what this is going to do to game shows going forward. You know, they all have writers. Even something like The Price is Right, which doesn't really rely on, you know, written material, has writers to write even what the host says. So it's going to be really interesting to see what effect this has going forward.
Now, Christian, you used to write for a show, didn't you?
I did. I had one gig about 10 years ago. I was a writer for a game show pilot on VH1.
So, I mean, obviously it's just a pilot, so they're not going to give you any kind of guaranteed union wage or whatever else. But I got to figure, like, these guys are like, aren't they part of the union, or are they all writing just from home, not being part of that?
Tom, take that one more time. I couldn't hear like the second half of what you said.
Sure. Hang on. So I got to assume all these guys are like part of the union if they're writing for them already, aren't they? I mean, isn't that part of the deal?
Yes, but when it comes to game shows, things get a little bit tricky. If you ever notice, if you ever take a second and notice during the credits of a lot of shows, a lot of game shows, and they call them competition series, alternative entertainment series, they don't necessarily have writers. They have what they call content producers. So content producers serve the purpose of writers, but they also come up with funny jokes. They come up with, you know, segments and the scope of their job is really expanded beyond that of a writer. So as a result, there's certain terminology and there are certain things that writers are guaranteed, but content producers, maybe not so much. And it's a sort of murky area.
For the production company to get around that crap.
I was going to say, it sounds like a shady loophole to me.
Yeah, exactly right.
Right. And it's something that's been going on for a long time. I'm sort of entered into dialogue with a lot of people about what's going on over there. So I can't say too much on the record about the backstage stuff, but it's definitely an interesting time to be watching this segment of the industry.
Well, it's too bad because the Chase is fun. I like those guys. I think it's a good show. It's really produced up very well.
Well, and I think that's specifically a show where the writers have a lot of leverage by going on strike. Like, they're, you know, with all the trivia and planning that goes into that show, writer or content producer, as you say, is a pretty big role, I would think.
All right, Christian, what else do you have for us?
Well, I don't know if you guys have checked this out, but There's a closed skating rink that's going to be turned into a homeless shelter, and they're naming it after Alex Trebek. So I guess back in November, he had donated... I have the article here from CNN. Trebek, who hosted the popular game show Jeopardy for more than 3 decades, made a donation to the California-based Hope of the Valley Rescue Mission back in November. Now, I guess this organization was looking to purchase this closed skating rink. Trebek made a donation to help them do that. And at the time, the nonprofit, which works against poverty and homelessness, wanted to turn this building into a housing facility for those in need. Now, posthumously, with Alex Trebek's help, they're turning that again into a homeless shelter, and they're going to name it after the guy. And I think that, you know, his legacy is bringing about such beautiful things. I mean, we talk about the story of his suits being donated to people who need clothes for job interviews.
Right.
We talk about the skating rink being turned into a homeless shelter. I mean, his memory is living on in such a beautiful way.
You know, in the world that we live in of cancel culture every day, it is refreshing to hear stories like this.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, for anybody who talks about game shows as a sort of passive medium and something that, you know, was meant to be watched and thrown away or, you know, not really worthy of note, I mean, you say what you will, but the effect that good television has on the people who watch it and the world at large, I mean, is undeniable.
I was going to say undeniable is absolutely the right word.
Love it. Absolutely love it. Good stuff. Thank you, Christian. Hey, what do you got for us? We might as well do a This Week in Game Show History, right?
Yeah, I think I could probably pull something out of...
Oh, well, come on now. Wait. Mike, are you listening to this?
I was going to say, all right, so for anyone who listens, the Stump the Trump segments, not scripted. That, very much scripted. You can tell the difference.
Exactly right.
I don't know. Should I just throw in dates out here? April 1st, 1963. I don't know. Just
off the
just,
top of my head.
You know. So 4/1/63, the national premiere of a game show that I don't know if you guys have, maybe you haven't heard of it, but I'll explain it to you. It's called You Don't Say. Now, You Don't Say was similar to Password in that there were two teams, each had a celebrity and a contestant, and they had to get their partner to say the names of famous people, famous places, sometimes famous things. I feel like the best way to explain this is to give you an example. Now, the show
was
on.
Like, can Mike and I play like a little bit of this with you? Could you like host this for us?
Absolutely. Great.
So,
I love it.
All right. So the way the game works is, so you get a famous name, and the goal is to communicate a syllable or a part of that name to your partner by constructing a sentence and leaving off the last word, because that's the word you don't say. So I'll give you an example. Now, the show was on for 6 years, hosted by a guy who we've talked about a few times here named Tom Kennedy. So if I was to communicate, let's start with Tom. If I was to communicate that name to you, I'll see it on my little card on my desk here, and you don't see it, but I know what I'm trying to get you to say. So I might say, and again, this is going to be, I have to give you part of the name,
and I have to figure out the rest of it.
Yeah, so I have to give you clues to a word that sounds like this part of the name, not exactly spelled like it or sounds like it, but something that you all right. So you see it. Okay,
get on with it.
All right.
Yes, Christian, sometime today.
All right. So, Tom, I have heartburn. And when I have heartburn, I go to my medicine cabinet, and there's a bottle with a lot of round
Tegament.
White pills.
Pepcid.
And they have calcium, and they taste like mint, and
okay,
I take one
I got
or two
it.
Of them.
I got it. Yeah.
And
Tums,
a,
I got it.
And a single one of these would be called a...
Tum. So we're looking for Tom out of Tum.
Right. And the idea is to kind of stretch that out and figure out that I'm talking about Tom Kennedy. And the idea is that as you add up clues, it gets a little, you know, it starts to sound a little silly with all the syllables that sound kind of similar to the name, but.
Oh, so you're not beholden to the one syllable.
No, you pick
because that's where I thought you were going. And so I was like, okay, so you've got Tum, and I can see how you could stretch that to Tom. But now how do you know if it's Tom Cruise or Tom Hanks? Or
exactly. Right. So Tom might guess Tom Cruise, and that's wrong. So then I'll go to Mike, and I'll say, Mike, now I'm hungry again. and I'm going to the kitchen and I'm making myself a sandwich and I want to put a certain type of fish on my sandwich. And I look, I have salmon and I have sturgeon and I have tuna.
Tuna.
Now, Starkist tuna, my favorite brand of tuna, happens to come in a cylindrical container that requires a special utensil to open. And this metal cylinder that tuna comes in is called a...
Tin. Can.
Tom.
Tom.
Can.
Can. Nitty.
Right.
Okay. Okay. So you're kind of almost doing the whole thing that we used to... What was the... where you're reading the pictograms off the bottle caps.
Oh, yeah. Rebus
exactly.
Puzzle.
Yep. Yeah. Like, yeah, kind of like concentration. But yeah, you're putting sounds together to figure out the name of a famous person or famous place. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So can we play a real round of this?
If you want to, sure.
Yeah. Let's do it. All right. So you Christian, you're going to have to come up with a famous person, and we don't know what it is. But go ahead.
Okay. Let's see. Give me.
I guess we have to go in order. We can't just shout out answers, right?
Right. So I'll start. I started with Tom the first one. I'll start with Mike.
Okay. Good.
All right, Mike.
Yes.
There is a famous martial artist who does his own stunts. He was in a film called Rush Hour. He was in a film called The Tuxedo. Really famous guy. I believe he was from Hong Kong. He was from China. And his last name, I can give you his first name. His first name is Jackie.
Right.
And his last name is...
Well, he also famously played Chun-Li once in a movie called City Connection, but that is Jackie Chan.
Nice.
Okay.
Nice. Okay,
good. So my guess is going to be Channing Tatum.
No. No, okay. Good guess, but not.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
My turn.
All right. If I'm in a gang and I want to hurt you with a weapon... And I'm looking at my jacket. I have a bunch of weapons.
Okay.
And if I pulled out a gun and shot you, I would be a gunner. But if I pulled out a long switchblade with a handle or something similar, something in that family of weapon, I wouldn't be a gunner. I'd be a...
Goddamn, a shanker? A knifer?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm gonna say knifer, and I'm going to say...
So put them together.
Yeah, so you're looking at...
So think about the first clue and think about the second one.
All right, so Chan
mm-hmm.
and Knifer and...
Okay, stretch that out. I put it together a little bit and stretch it out.
Don't give them too much because I got it.
Oh, goddamn, stop. Let me go. Hang on, I can do this. I can do this.
I don't have the answer. I just have this part.
Kiefer Sutherland.
No.
Okay.
All right. So,
it's a bad guess. I knew that, but I wanted to keep the show moving. I'm just throwing that out there.
That's all right. Okay. Who are we on to? Mike.
Yes.
Okay. There is a certain fruit that grows in Florida, and you peel it. It's high in vitamin C. You can juice it.
I just had two of these.
There's a famous Julius type of drink that has this fruit in it. Now, if... I was French, and I wanted one of these fruits. I wouldn't say le kiwi or le apple. I would say...
Le orange. Le orange.
So put them together.
Yeah, I don't want to say it out loud because I don't want to give Tom any hints.
You better get it right.
If you say, so if you say it out loud, you'll get it.
Well, I want to say it knowing who it is, but I think it's Jennifer LaRange.
Yeah.
Chan Knifer LaRange.
Yeah, you're getting there.
Oh, I've got it. I finally got it. I am so ready.
I'm saying it, and I'm just like,
you're right around it, Mike. Keep going, Mike. You're so
Jennifer
close.
Lawrence.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was like, I know it's Jennifer something. What's going on here?
God, I got to tell you, like, Mike and I are normally really good at game shows, and we just failed miserably, both of us.
This is a hard game. I got to tell you, there's a famous celebrity, a really, like, popular celebrity back in the 60s who was never named in this story, but he did a week of the show. He got there for the Monday show and just could not think of clues, could not wrap his mind around this game. And instead of trying to... sit there and grasp it. He said, you know what, guys, I'm going to call it a night. And just went home.
Was that Shatner?
I wish. No, I don't know who it was.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. All so right. That's so you. Yeah, you don't say this week in game show history.
I love like
that.
It.
That's cool.
It's so good. And it was fun to play. Thank you, Christian. I appreciate that. You know, maybe, Mike, we need to, on these games that we don't know, maybe from now on when Christian brings them up in this week in game show history, we need to play the game in order to fully understand it.
I absolutely love that idea.
I think it's coming up on season 3. Christian, thank you so much.
My pleasure, guys. Can't wait for the 3rd season. Love you.
All right. See you soon.
All right.
All right, I know there was no stump or chump, but that's part of being in the off season. We're not doing that.
Yeah, we're slim and trim on these mini episodes.
But what we are looking for is more questions. So please get your questions together for stump or chump, and we do have we have pins to hand out here.
We do. And as we've seen, we really need to ramp things up. So we are already starting brewing some questions, but we would like some more from y'all. The one stump that we've had, I'm counting it as a full stump, but you're insistent that it was a little,
maybe a little dirty
field.
It may have been a little dirty.
That's fine. And while I don't agree, I want there to be a stumping that is unequivocally a stump. I want there to be no question, no asterisk, no footnote, nothing. Just stump Christian. So let's make that happen in season 3.
Yeah. So all you guys have to do is send us a message either via social or drop us an email via the website, which is tellthemwhatthey'vewon.com. We'd be happy to have that in our plethora of questions that we're going to have ready for season 3. Speaking of season 3, Mike, we don't have all of our weeks decided yet.
We don't. We have a rough outline, but there are some shows that I've put in that list that I'm not too wild about. If any of our listeners have a specific show that you've wanted us to hit on or that maybe we've just totally overlooked, let us know. What are some of your favorite shows that we have not done yet? We would love to dive deep into shows that we are not familiar with. And we are looking to you for suggestions. So if anyone out there has shows through those same methods, social media and email and all that stuff, let us know, and we would love to take a look into some of those.
And don't even worry if you think the show's too small or didn't have a long enough run or whatever, because like we did with the video game show or with the big show that we did at the end of season 1, if it's not a big enough show to run us a whole episode, we'll just combine it with other similar shows and we'll run a show about whatever.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we're always on the lookout for new stuff. And I mean, hey, we did an episode about remote control, so anything can happen.
Yeah, Lord knows. We did a whole episode on Deal or No Deal.
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised they were even able to make a whole episode of Deal or No Deal.
Incidentally, one of the episodes that I definitely want to make sure we hit in season 3 is talking about all Canadian game shows, and obviously we'll bring back our good friend Ryan Vickers.
Well, yes, of course. As we are recording this very evening, the Search for Canada's game shows is premiering this very evening, but tomorrow, Tuesday, March 30th, and the next day, they will continue on. All the episodes are up on their website, and he's going to be doing some live interactive content on YouTube or Twitch or something like that. Is that correct?
Yeah, Tom? It's on YouTube. I'll throw the website up on the website as well. But if you guys get a chance, if you want to chime in, please jump on there with Ryan. He's going to do a little 15-minute, like, after the episode airs, kind of like a, what is it, like, after The Walking Dead or what are they talking? The Talking Dead or whatever they call it. Yeah. So he's going to be doing a little breakdown afterwards. So please join him online for that. And all the links will be up on the website as well. And Ryan, we wish you the best of luck with that. We're really happy that you were able to help promote that on our podcast. And we look forward to working with you next season too.
Absolutely. And hey, if anyone has any other cross promotion stuff they want to work with us, let us know.
Yeah, man, we're, here's my thing. I'm about getting good information about awesome game shows out there and also about totally crappy game shows out there too.
Well, and that's the thing is I feel like even the shows that we don't like, we've been doing big production shows. I want to start learning about the real failures. Like I've always said there's no zeros and Christian said he could produce some zeros. I want to see these zeros. That's where I think this show should start turning. Not permanently overall, but I'm saying I want those that start coming up more.
So be prepared for the Zero show that's coming up.
The big goose egg.
I look forward to it. All right. Well, gang, we'll see you again next week. We'll do a little bit, try to keep you in the know of what's going on in the game show world. And if we can come up with one, maybe we do an off-season Stumper Chump too.
Well, so the only problem there is if we introduce the idea of an off-season Stumper Chump, then we're introducing it the idea that it could be non-canonical, right? So if we stump him in the off season, then that's another asterisk of like, you didn't really stump him.
Yeah, no, so we're not going to do any Stumper Chump.
I'm not even opening that door. Yeah.
Okay, you're right. You're absolutely right. But we will still get the questions together and we'll get ready to hit them coming back in season 3.
Absolutely.
All right, Mike. Well, that's all the time we've got for this week. I guess we'll see everybody next week, right?
Yeah. Thanks for joining.
All right. We'll see you again soon. Have a great night, everybody.